We Were the Lucky Ones, written by Georgia Hunter and read by Kathleen Gatty.
To my husband, Robert Fahrenholt, with all of my heart, and to my grandfather, with love and wonderment. Based on true events.
By the end of the Holocaust, 90% of Poland's 3 million Jews were annihilated. Of the more than 30,000 Jews who lived in Radom, fewer than 300 survived.
Part 1. Chapter 1. Adi. Paris, France, early March, 1939. It wasn't his plan to stay up all night. His plan was to leave the Grand Duke around midnight and catch a few hours of sleep at the Gare du Nord before his train ride back to Toulouse. Now, he glances at his watch, it's nearly 6 in the morning. Montmartre has this effect on him. The jazz clubs and cabarets, the throngs of Parisians, young and defiant, unwilling to let anything, even the threat of war, dampen their spirits. It's intoxicating. He finishes his cognac and stands, fighting the temptation to stay for one last set. Surely there is a later train he can take. But he thinks of the letter tucked into his coat pocket, and his breath catches. He should go. Gathering his overcoat, scarf, and cap, he bids his companions adieu and weaves his way between the club's dozen or so tables, still half full of patrons smoking gitanes and swaying to Billie Holiday's Time on My Hands. As the door swings closed behind him, Adi inhales deeply, savoring the fresh air, raw and cool in his lungs. The frost on Rue Pigalle has begun to melt, and the cobblestone street shimmers, a kaleidoscope of grays beneath the late winter sky. He'll have to walk quickly to make his train, he realizes. Turning, he steals a glimpse at his reflection in the club's window, relieved to find the young man peering back at him, presentable, despite the sleepless night. His posture is square, his trousers cinched high on his waist, still sharply cuffed and creased, his dark hair combed back the way he prefers it, neat, without a part. Looping his scarf around his neck, he sets off toward the station. Elsewhere in the city, Adi presumes, the streets are quiet, deserted. Most iron-gated storefronts won't open until noon. Some, whose owners have fled to the countryside, won't open at all. Fermé indéfiniment, the signs in the windows read. But here in Montmartre, Saturday has faded seamlessly to Sunday, and the streets are alive with artists and dancers, musicians and students. They stumble from the clubs and cabarets, laughing and carrying on as if they hadn't a worry in the world. Adi tucks his chin into his coat collar as he walks, looking up just in time to sidestep a young woman in a silver lamé gown, striding in his direction. "Excusez-moi, monsieur," she smiles, blushing from beneath a yellow-plumed cap. A singer, Adi surmises. A week ago, he might have engaged her in conversation. "Bonjour, mademoiselle," he nods, continuing on. A whiff of fried chicken triggers a rumble in his stomach as Adi rounds the corner onto Rue Victor Mas, where a line has already begun to form outside Mitchell's all-night diner. Through the restaurant's glass door, he can see customers chatting over mugs of steaming coffee, their dishes heaped with American-style breakfasts. "Another time," he tells himself, continuing east toward the station.